Good morning. We're going to start just a little early. We have a new song for you. Feel free to sing along if you'd like. If not, you can just certainly listen because we're going to do it all over again after the greetings. So feel free to just sit. But this is My Lighthouse.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. Questions your truth alone. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. Trust a promise, you will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. Safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. Far before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storms. Far before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storms of hope before us. You're the brightest. You will lead us through the storms of hope before us. You're the brightest. You will lead us through the storms. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I'll follow you, oh. Trust the promise, you carry me safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore.
Let's all stand up, and we're going to greet those around you. But quickly, before we do that, I just want to say thank you so much for all of you coming today. And also, if you can please give a hand to this wonderful group up here. This is their last Revive of the semester. And for some of them, they are graduating, specifically Gabe Gazzola. So please give them all a hand. Greet those around you, please.
Thank you.
In my wrestling, in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I'll follow you, oh my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you carry me safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. I won't fear what tomorrow brings. Each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I'll follow you, oh my lighthouse, my lighthouse. Trust the promise, you carry me safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. Far before us, you're the brightest, you will lead us through the storm. Far before us, you're the brightest, you will lead us through the storms of far before us. You're the brightest, you will lead us through the storms. Far before us, you're the brightest, you will lead us through the storms. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I'll follow you, oh my lighthouse, my lighthouse. I will trust the promise, you carry me safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore.
Good morning. It is wet outside, as I learned on my walk over. Can we open in a moment of prayer? Lord, I just pray that you calm me as I've had too much coffee this morning, and that your words come out through what you've put on my heart today, and that you make your presence known in this room. And we just welcome you here and just pray for your wisdom as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. So about a month ago, our wonderful chaplains asked me to speak on one of the last weeks of the year, and for the last especially 2 weeks, I've spent a lot of time in prayer and a lot of time in my Bible and thought and just trying to figure out what was the last thing that I was going to be called to speak about on this campus, as this is being probably one of my last times speaking, my last time being involved in leading something like this, my last time doing this. What was God's call? What am I supposed to speak about? And even last night, I was still freaking out, like, I don't know. And I had this idea forming, especially over the last couple weeks, but it just didn't quite know how to come together. And everything I was thinking about just kind of felt off. It didn't quite feel right. But about a week ago, for the last 3 years, a group of me and a couple of my closest friends meet every Thursday night for Bible study. And since sophomore year, we have walked together in our faith, and we opened the Word trying to get closer to Jesus and get closer to each other and understand more of what He's calling us to be and how to live that out. And the group of us have walked through hell together. Not this last January, but the January before, we lost one of our best friends to suicide, one of the guys who's been a brother in our Bible study with us. And throughout these 3 years, we have wrestled with depression together. We've wrestled with anxiety. We've wrestled with insecurities and feeling lost and not knowing where our faith is or where it's going or where it's been. And we've become a band of brothers through that. We've become really close in our relationships. But over the last 6 months or so, I've noticed that our relationships kind of distanced. Over the last 6 months, we didn't feel as close as we have in the past. And for some reason that we couldn't quite, or I couldn't quite put my finger on, it just didn't feel the same. Going to Bible study, which once used to be the highlight of my week, had suddenly turned into a chore. And me and my roommate, as we are in that Bible study together and run another Bible study on Sundays, the Bible study on Sunday was an excitement, but for some reason this one just was a drain. And so this last Thursday, I finally brought it up to the group and realized we had all been feeling the same way, that it was distant, but we didn't quite know why. And as I talked with the boys, and then after some of the guys left and it was just me and Sam, something finally clicked. And we realized that the reason that we had been feeling so distant was that the book that we had been using to read the Bible, to go through it, to help guide us through it, was boring. Like, there was no life to it whatsoever. It was really valuable, really important information, but it just wasn't relevant to who we were. It's really, really good stuff, the stuff that helped us understand the Old Testament, why they believed what they believed, but there's nothing to make us feel like we were doing anything. There's nothing to make us feel like we were transforming, we're just gaining knowledge, and it just wasn't relevant. And I realize so often that's how we are as Christians. We have all this information in our head, and Jesus and God have moved in our lives so many ways, and we have a bunch of information, but there's a disconnect between what's in our head and what's in our hearts and what's coming out in our lives. And when we live this way and we wrestle with this, we develop what is commonly known as the Christian stigma. The world around us looks at us and they see Christians, and they're like, wow, they don't do what they preach. They're a little hypocritical. They don't do what they preach, but yet they still look down on us as judgmental. And I realize that this is me. Just ask my girlfriend, I'm often hypocritical. Just ask my friends, and sometimes I can be judgmental. And it's not because I don't care or I'm not following God, it's because it's my condition. By definition, according to what we believe, we're hypocritical. We haven't quite reached what we were meant to be. We were made to be this being, and we spend our entire lives in a fallen, broken world that we can't quite be there. We can't quite be what we've been called. And so we fall short and we become hypocritical. We fall short and we become judgmental. And the stereotype exists because it's true. And we read in Romans 7:15, Paul says, "The very thing I want to do, I do not do, and the very thing I hate, I do." And he's living in this tension. This guy who wrote a massive chunk of the New Testament wrestles and can't quite seem to overcome the hypocriticalness in his own life. And he can't overcome everything that he has to face. And when you read through the letters, you see moments of judgmentalness, and you see contradiction. And it's part of him being just real. So when I was thinking about how we live this out, and as our stereotype exists, how do we change that? A couple weeks ago, I and some of my friends were talking about the Christian stereotype, and we were focusing on, like, what do we do to change it? Instead, we should have been focusing on, why does it exist? And it exists because it's us. And Jesus says, "I will take you as you are." And it comes out throughout the text, "I'll take you as you are, but if you follow me, if you do what I tell you, you cannot stay the same." And here at Gustavus, if we're to be relevant at Christians, we can't stay the same. If we're to become relevant in this community, if we're to make a difference on this campus, we have to follow Jesus. In my 4 years at Gustavus, I've learned there's basically one slogan, I would say, that seems to sum up our campus, and it's not always make your life count. It's more like work hard, play hard. We have a campus that works their bag off throughout the week, and when Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday hit, we get it going. And Friday night or Saturday night or even last night, this campus is letting loose. But so often we as Christians don't know how to live in that environment. We don't know how to be relevant. And we usually fall into one of two categories. And if we'll start with work hard, if we start with play hard, we fall into one of two categories. We fall into the category that finds it safer to hang out with our Christian friends and not be a part of the wildlife that might be going down the hill outside. It's safer, and we don't have to risk anything, and we won't find ourselves being judgmental when we're around drunk people. We won't find ourselves uncomfortable when we don't know how to relate because we've never been around this before. And we get caught up in worrying about what we look like or how to connect. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul talks about this problem. He says, to those who are under the law, I become like one under the law. And to those who are not under the law, even though I am still under God's law, I become like one not under the law. I meet them exactly where they're at. And we look at Jesus who is not God. In Philippians 2, it says, even though he is God and had every right to claim, he humbled himself to be as one under God. And humbled himself even to death and death on a cross. He humbled himself to become human just like us. And he meets us exactly where we're at. And he sets an example. And even though he does not give up his integrity, he does not give up his understanding and his connection to God, he becomes just like us in weakness of flesh, in the fact that he's mortal, in weakness of temptation and facing things that we face every day. But when we hide here on our campus among our Christian friends, we cease to be relevant to that world and we come off as judgmental. We come off as standoffish because we don't know how to be a part of it. And if we go to the flip side, we might find ourselves out on a Friday and Saturday night. And because of whether it's insecurities or trying to fit in or whatever it is, we find ourselves being just like the people we're trying to reach and we get looked at as hypocritical. And instead of finding ourselves in a place where we are meeting them where they're at, but holding our, what we believe to be our integrity, whatever, even though there's slight differences in this room, we find ourselves caught in the middle ground and our light fails to shine the way God has called it to shine. And one of the ways that we change in this is just trusting God. When we hold our ground in what we believe, but we still find ourselves on the front of the battle line, we change. God uses those times that we learn to relate to those people we don't know how to relate to. You look at Jesus' ministry, his first miracle was at a party with alcohol. The rest of his ministry was spent spending time with the people the religious didn't think he should be spending time with. And you see the impact he made because he was relevant and with them where they were at. He held to who he was and his integrity, and the same way we're called to do the same. Other thing is work hard here at Gustavus. And with finals coming up, work hard is in an all-time high and an all-time stress level for most of you. As a senior with a job and with whatever, that's all I have to say about finals. I've made it. Yes! But for the last 3 years, finals is a stressful time. Finals is difficult, and it doesn't stop at finals. It's the whole year long. Whether we're in sports, we're in music, our time is demanded of us constantly. Our classes are difficult and demand time for studying, and I cannot tell how often I hear the line, I just don't have time for God. God has called me to this, and I've taken this position or taken this call, but suddenly school gets a little hard, and it's too much, and I put this aside. And we look at our faith. Has our faith really changed over the last 4 years at Gustavus? Maybe in little ways. But as we read the New Testament, these faiths are changing drastically because they're spending time with God. They're taking those little risks of trusting God and being like, God, will you change me? I'm going to take this extra time to spend time in the Bible instead of maybe studying. Or I feel called to lead this Bible study, and I'm going to spend my time in Bible study rather than putting time aside to study a little extra for a test and trust that God will take care of it. In my 4 years here at Gustavus, when I didn't have enough money, God has provided scholarships. When I've chased after whether it's Bible study or missions that I felt God has called me to, suddenly studying goes faster. I make it through Leach's tests. I move, like, things change. And my relationship with God, because I've trusted him to provide, comes through. In Matthew 6, he says, do not worry about the things of this world. He says, I have taken care of it. Chase after me. God will take care of you. I will take care of you. But so often we say we believe, but there's a disconnect between our head and heart. And the hypocrisy builds. The fact that we cannot do what we say we trust God, we say we're made new and say he will take care of us, but we don't give him that opportunity. We don't let down our lives. And so in conclusion, I realize that the first step of this is realizing that we are broken. We need to realize that we are hypocritical because it is our condition. We realize that we cannot do it ourselves. But Jesus says, I have come and I've overcome the world. He says, I've stepped into the darkness. I've taken you as you are and I'm going to make you new. And when we start to not just say, God, okay, you say you're going to do this, but actually take steps of faith as if he has or will, do we start to grow? Do we open our hearts to being changed? And if we want this stigma to change, it starts with those little steps. When we take these little steps, Jesus moves in us. When we put ourselves on the line and see him come through, maybe next time we're ready to go a little farther. We're ready to let go of a little more. And over time, he overtakes our hearts. And he breaks the disconnect that's between the knowledge in our head and the light that should be coming out of our lives. We grow in this confidence in him, knowing that he will come through, knowing that he will step out. And as we step into the last couple weeks, whether we're stepping into a new career outside Gustavus or we have 3 more years here, or maybe lots more years here as faculty, how are we living this out? Are we going to live lives that are relevant, that are meeting people where they're at, and that are trusting God to come through? And if we do this, we are going to screw up. We're going to sin. It's part of our brokenness. But that's where forgiveness comes in. Do we trust him to forgive us? And do we trust him to help us grow through those mistakes? Thanks.
Again, thank you for being here today, and thank you to Nate for that beautiful message. I invite you to come back tomorrow as Jiwo will be leading us all in a very lively and fun hymn sing with all of their instruments, so it's going to be a lot of fun in here tomorrow as well. Receive this blessing. People of God, beautiful and broken, may you go forth filled with the love of God to share that love with all that you meet this day and always. Amen.